log on your computer. Turn up your radio. The truth is spoken. Stay tuned for the news.
Some assembly required.
Once again, the truth.
At the tone, say your name.
Aloha. Daryl Chesser here. How you doing? Coming to you after a long hiatus of no shows for a long time. Been doing some editing, voice work, yard work, housework. Okay, yard work. And let's see, just stuff. Eating, watching sports, fixing stuff. That kind of stuff. You know, the stuff. The stuff that you do. And anyway, I wanted to come to you today and just chat. Been a while. It's raining. I'm standing in my garage watching the rain out here in Texas. Beautiful day. This April the 8th is the date, 2013. No, gosh, Daryl, wake up. It's April 10th. Hello. So happy tax season to all of you. I hope you're looking forward to it. What a glorious time of year this always is, where we send gifts to one another. Wait a minute. Well, I guess we do, sort of, kind of. We send gifts into the Uncle Sam, and he sends them to other people. So by proxy, thank God for the government, who knows how to distribute our gifts so valiantly and wonderfully. We give God thanks for everything. Now, for those of you that are new to the program, that was sarcasm. Yes, it sounded sincere, but that was sarcasm. Okay, let's move on. I have discovered something about life. I have discovered that God's good, that God's got everything under control, that God has your life in the palm of his hand. Even Jesus said that he has you in his hand, and the Father has you then in his hand. So it's like double wrapped. It's like the double burrito wrap at Taco Bell. It's like this awesome. You got two shells on it. You're wrapped up twice, baby. I mean, it's going to take crunching through two shells to get to you, through Jesus's hand and God's hand. I love that part about the scripture. I love this security that we have in Christ Jesus. And I love how the world system tries to tell us how to live as Christians. I love how believers, so many of you are concerned about witness, your witness. You guys crack me up. Oh, okay. Let's start with that one right there. Oh, I agree. Your witness is important. But it's not your witness. It's Christ. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. It is Christ that will draw them into him if you'll lift Christ up. Does it say if you act like Christ? No. It says if you'll lift him up, if you'll exalt him, if you'll preach that he is everything, if you'll preach that he did it all, that he took all the punishment, that he sent all of his righteousness and all of his health and all of his wealth and all of his everything that he had in glory, he exchanged with you, who had none of his wealth, who had none of his righteousness, who had none of his grace, who had none of his health and none of his wholeness and none of his joy. He didn't deserve all your junk, and you don't deserve all of his wealth and riches, his grace. It's a divine exchange when you believe that Jesus Christ is who God said he was. God said, "This is my son in whom I am well pleased." That means, according to Hebrews 11:6, without faith, it is impossible to please God. So if God said to those people when Jesus was baptized, and then again on the Mount of Transfiguration, the voice of God thunders from heaven and says, "This is my son in whom I'm well pleased." Guess what? That's a man of faith. Jesus was a man of faith because he had to use his faith. By faith, he had to receive sin. By faith, he had to receive sickness and disease and poverty and lack. He had to receive that because they had no hold on him. They were no part of him. They had nothing in him. In one scripture, the Gospels tell us that Jesus said, "Satan has come and he has found nothing in me." There were no hooks, no little crevices like climbing a mountain or snagging something on your sweater. If there's something sticking out, you know, there's always going to be something in physics that will reach out and grab it. A doorknob, a cat, your own fingernail, you know, a zipper. It doesn't matter. A pin. Something's going to grab that hook and pull you back. I mean, how many times have you gone past a door and your sweater, your sleeve, your shirt, your trousers, if you're tall enough, the door handle, or your iPod. You got you've got something on, you're wearing some headphones with that cord. You walk past and the handle grabs it, and people all see that because it jerks your head and jerks you back. You feel like an idiot, and you are. But that is how Satan comes. He comes to search and probe and looking for somewhere where he can grab hold and yank you back from God's righteousness. The accuser. So what I'm trying to say here in this little segment is that Satan could find nothing in Jesus because there was nothing to find, nothing to hold over his head, nothing to hammer him with, nothing in the law he could use, sin taking occasion of the law. The accuser, devil, took the perfect law and hammer you with it. And Jesus came and said, well, then I'm going to nail these laws and this law and this perfect law to the cross, saying you did exactly what you're supposed to do. You got us here. And now I'm taking this most powerful weapon of the enemy, who took occasion of the perfect law. He took occasion of it and used the perfect law of God to hammer you with accusation. You're not good enough. You haven't prayed enough. You haven't read enough. You don't go to church enough. You haven't won enough souls. You haven't had a witness of Jesus enough. That is crap. You might be quote unquote guilty of all those things in the natural. Sure, you could have done more. Sure, you could have done this. But not one of those things, not one of those things got you saved. And not one of those things can keep you saved. You know, it was in spite of your sin that you got born again. Because if sin can stop you and get between you and God, it would have done it before you got born again. When you were totally dead in sin, when you were totally dead in trespasses, you had no promise, you had no life, you had no heritage in God. And if sin could stop you, he would have stopped you then from ever receiving Christ. But one day somebody said something, or one day you read something. Something happened where you heard this word that Jesus loves you, that Jesus is your righteousness, that Jesus did it all, that he paid the price, that he took all of the penalty, and that then he came up, and just as Joseph said to his brothers after he was exalted to the throne of Egypt back in Genesis, he said to his brothers who had sold him into slavery 13 or 14 years earlier, he goes, look, boys, you meant that for evil, but God meant it for good to get me here. You know, the people that put him on the cross, our sins, and the people that put him on the cross and those who betrayed him, they meant it for evil. But God meant that entire thing, set it up for good. And just as Joseph said, boys, don't worry, I'm not mad at you. I am not mad at you. I love you. You meant it for this way, but that doesn't matter. God did it to get me here on the top of the world so that I could dispense every need that you have, so that I could give you grace, so that I could give you righteousness, so that I could give you holiness. I could bless you and love you and hug you and squeeze you. There's the thing. If you are concerned about your witness, shut up. If you are concerned about your sin, shut up. If you're concerned about the world, what they think of you, shut up. I can tell you all those things right now. Your witness isn't good enough. Your sin is still trying to activate in your life. And the world thinks you're a pig. That's just the way it is. I don't care if you're deluded enough to believe somehow you can be friends with the world where you'll shine so brightly that they will just say, you are so good. Let me tell you what, if you believe that abortion is the ending of life, they think you're a terrorist. They think you are crazy. You're like, wait a minute, what? You're worried about if somebody smokes or drinks in your witness? And yet the world system says, well, look, if you don't agree with us that killing babies is okay, then you are not a good Christian. You don't know God. You don't love us. You won't let us live the way we want. So you trying to live some kind of witness, don't be ridiculous. Your witness is to God. Do you believe in Jesus Christ, that he is your righteousness, that he is your hope, that he is your health and healing, that he is your future, he is your provision, that he is the only one on this planet that right now you are to lift up and to exalt? And he said, if you'll exalt him and not the laws and not the Torah and not the church going and not the don't do this and don't do that and not all of this, none of those things got you saved and none of those things can keep you saved. The only thing that got you saved was faith in Jesus Christ, that he is the Christ. The only thing that'll keep you saved is faith in Jesus Christ, that he is your righteousness, that he is your salvation, that he is the all, that he forgave you once and for all. It's done. It's finished. It was on the cross. He's resurrected, which means God accepted the sacrifice. Not one sin was left on him. You are forgiven. Now, out of that grace and out of that righteousness and out of that new spirit, good works will proceed. But those good works couldn't save you. Listen, before you got born again, dead in your trespasses and sin, did you ever do good? Well, yeah, of course. Of course. Even a blind squirrel gets a nut sometimes, right? You were a sinner. That's why you sinned, because that's who you were. You were a sinner. And even in that dead sense, you were dead to God and dead to righteousness and dead to life, you still did good. You were kind to your animals, or maybe you were good to your in your community, a decent, kind, and moral person. You did good even though you weren't righteous. Well, now let me ask you, let's throw that around. Once you get born again and Christ has given you this eternal life and has washed you clean by his eternal blood that can never ever be shed again. Once you've received it, it can never be shattered over your life. Now, what happens if you're now born again and sin has been destroyed in you? The big S, the noun, sin, the original, whatever you want to call it, the spirit, the doctrine, the old man cut away. What if you sin after you're born again? Well, who saw that coming? Well, I did. Of course, you're human. You live in this world. And if you go sin again, listen, you're most likely, if you're like me and you sin in some way, you come to God and you say, look, I'm sorry about that. I know that. You know, I realize that's not right. I'm sorry. And I know I'm forgiven, because you're not coming up and down and taking it away and giving it, taking it away and giving it. Faith. God's life is eternal. I have come to abide forever. I will forgive you forever, ever. It's for eternity. What I'm trying to tell you is your sin can't separate you after you're born again. This grace will begin to burn that junk out of you. But the day that you can walk on this earth without fault is the day that I know you're in a cemetery, dead. Because this whole world, it's all about tripping you up. It's all about the junk around you. That's why we needed grace, is because he said the law demands rigidly, if you do one of these things, judgment. If you think something, if you have a bad thought, bad word, if you don't do the Shabbat, and mainly, listen, let's get real honest here. If you don't shed that blood of that lamb once a year, you're dead. That's the Torah. The Torah was a picture and a shadow and a type of what was coming. Jesus is the fulfillment. The Torah did its whole thing. But the law, I got news for you. You haven't sacrificed in 2,000 years the blood of the lambs and the goats? Don't you even talk to me about righteousness on any level. There is only one righteousness, and it is the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And by faith in him, I, Daryl Chesser, am righteous today by virtue of my faith in Jesus Christ. That alone in which I stand, that alone in which I stand. And like the foolish Galatians Paul was talking to, what the heck is wrong with you guys? You've got this absolutely magnificent promise, eternity, eternal security promise of God that will work in you and pull you along and propel you into good works and joy and peace and health. And you want to go back to trying to earn it? Well, you know what? I haven't sinned in 13 days. You know what? I haven't cussed. I don't drink. I don't smoke. You know what? I don't tell a lie. Well, thank God you weren't around back in Germany when the Jews were being murdered And there were some good Christians that knew how to lie and say, I don't have any Jews here. What about the midwives in Egypt? Go back and read that story where Herod says, go kill all the newborn baby boys. And the midwives, they wouldn't get there in time, purposely. And when they were called on the carpet, he said, why are you letting these boys be born? He goes, well, though, you know, these Hebrew women, they're pretty hardy, and they give birth before we get there. And the scripture says that God blessed these women and gave them families of their own because they protected life. They weren't concerned about telling a lie. They were concerned about life. Those who in the Underground Railroad during before the Civil War and during that period of darkness in America where slavery was here, and those that reached out and helped and assisted and did those things to free these men and women, these brothers and sisters of ours who were in chains and in darkness, evilly treated, those that reached out and helped pull them out of that, praise God, they were breaking the law. They were breaking the law, but they were more concerned with life and liberty than the law. If the law came and locked them up or executed them, such as in Germany, they would say, well, okay, so be it. But I'm going to my grave knowing that I erred on the side of life, not on the side of the law, be it the Bible or regular law, religion. I know this may be confusing to you, but I'm telling you, the law is rigid. It cannot be broken. Jesus even said it. Anyone that teaches that one jot or tittle of this law has passed away. Hellfire. Damn, you know, cursed. He was in the Old Testament system. This time of grace that we're in now, the righteousness of Jesus happened at the cross and then in the resurrection. Now we're there. But he was ministering to a law-filled generation as a man raised up under the law and fulfilling the law. And he was telling them, if you're preaching that it's okay that God just says, do whatever you can and we'll bring you along. It's, you know, just do what you can. You don't have to do everything right now, but so don't take condemnation, but just do what you can. That's a curse. According to Jesus, you change one jot or tittle of that law if that's the system you choose, the Old Testament. The especially Moses' law. If that's what you choose, this perfect law, it was perfect. But if you choose that now, you're going under that system. And if you don't sacrifice animals, if you break one thought crime, you're guilty of it all. I'm telling you what, you're trapped. This is what Paul was saying to the Galatians. What are you, idiots? That thing that couldn't save you. 400 or 500 years, 1,500 years of that law couldn't save the Israelites. It wasn't designed to save them. It was designed to say, you need a savior. You need someone else because you'll never do it. You can't do it. It's foolishness. I don't want you to do it. I want to do it for you, God said. I will provide myself a lamb, a sacrifice. I will fulfill my own requirements by my sending my only son. All right, I'm sorry. I may have gotten heavy with you today, but I need to tell you some of this stuff. I got to tell you this foolishness that's in the world and in some of our churches. I grew up with some of this honest to God, wonderful, wonderful people to this day. But this almost like this Laodicean church in Revelation, which it was hot and cold. The hot being the grace of God, that his righteousness alone. And the cold being the law. And he says, look, I wish it was one or the other. Either hot to grace and knowing that you're forgiven and knowing that Jesus loves you. God's not mad at you, nor will he ever be. The punishment's already been done. As the New Testament says 3 or 4 times, you are not appointed to wrath. The believer. It's been satisfied in Jesus Christ. Or I want you cold, which means absolutely headed towards that law. Because at the end of that law, guess what happens? That law was designed to say, see, nothing at the end of this tunnel. You need a savior. And it puts you right, points you right back to Jesus. But see, so long the enemy has been so effective over the last 2,000 years of coming into our ranks and helping us mix law and grace, and we get this putrid, lukewarm mix that accuses you at the same time as it teaches you that God loves you and has forgiven you, and then accuses you and saying, well, now that you're born again, you can keep the Torah. Wait a minute, what? Wait, hold on. Wait a minute, what? What is it? Corinthians 5, I think, 2 Corinthians 5. All things are made new. You are a new creation in Christ Jesus. When you put your faith in him, he recreates you. You don't even remember that crap anymore. Excuse my language. You don't remember it. It's done. All you are is in love with Jesus Christ. You're in love with that he saved you, that he healed you, that he protects you, that he's given you eternal life, that he is the one, that he paid the price, that he did it all. That's all you can focus on. That's all you can focus on, and that's all you want, and that will seal the deal. You'll get closer and closer and closer and closer and closer. Every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. So quit this whole thing of trying to live up to the world standards and be a witness to them. Lift up Christ, and he will witness to them and draw on men to him. Quit thinking that they're looking at your good actions. They could care less. You just be you. Be kind and generous. Love people around you. Remember that God loves them as much as he loves you. You may have taken advantage of it and received that already, but we yearn for all of them to receive that love too. So love them. And your witness isn't, you know, I don't smoke, I don't chew, I don't go with the girls who do. Your witness is Jesus Christ. If you love Jesus Christ, people are going to see that. People are going to see that. You know, the people who don't, who aren't looking for life and who aren't looking for truth, you know what they see? They see all your flaws, even when flaws aren't there. That's the world system. They're going to look for any hypocrisy or any lie, anything that's not even that. They're looking for something to hammer you because they are just, well, they're unbelievers. So they don't believe anything you do either. They're just unbelievers. I've gone too far, probably. Who knows how many people I've offended. But praise God, they didn't like Jesus much either. They didn't like John the Baptist much either. In fact, it turns out if you're preaching a true gospel, not many people, people that really want life are going to find Jesus. And that's all I want to tell you today. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Receive Jesus. It's your faith in him. It's your faith in Jesus Christ that he's your righteousness. It's not your actions. Your actions will begin to follow suit because of grace will open. The Holy Spirit power will begin to empower you to do good works and do good things and help you. But that's not your salvation. Your salvation is faith in Jesus Christ. If you ever lose sight of that, the devil will begin to trick you, begin to push you this way and that way and slap you around, and you'll begin to listen to the accuser that you're not good enough. You're not good enough. You're not good enough. And if you're a pastor, you'll look at that church and go, well, God, I've got to do what that guy did to get this big church. I can't tell you how evil that is. God made you perfectly. He loves you. He's empowered you to do exactly what he wants you to do. Look at God. Look at Jesus. Don't look at your brother. Go bless that man with the big church. Go bless that man with the small church. Go bless your neighbors. Does it matter? If it's big or small, does that matter at all when the God of the universe is living inside of you? What do you care? I have the entire wealth of the universe accessed in me. Like I'm like a flipping ATM for heaven in me. People sometimes will come and cash out. Daryl, tell me about this. And I'm going, let me tell you about Jesus, because he's the answer to everything. Ka-ching, ka-ching, ka-ching. They're taking out withdrawals. Ka-ching, ka-ching, ka-ching. It's not coming out of me. It's coming out of the Holy Spirit. Anyway. This is what happens when you don't go to, you're not on radio for a long time. Is you can't stop talking once you get back on. But until next time, whenever that is, thanks for tuning in today. And remember this, a day without sunshine is like night.
It's a nonstop party.
Money back guarantee.
Okay, people, that's a wrap.
Help is on the way.
The truth.